This is a Thrive episode, ongoing professional development for print and packaging teams. And now we'll move into today's session.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another America's Print Association Network Culture Brief. These are designed to be short and impactful and give you something to think about as you think about how you build teams and communities today and in the future. My name is Kelly Malazzi. I've been around the printing industry for about 32 years, and I work very closely with many of the America's Print Association Network affiliates. In fact, I'm recording this brief early because I have to be at an event for one of y'all this week. And these happen on the first three Thursdays of every month at 1:30 Eastern, one on sales, one on marketing, and one on company culture. So today we're talking about something very interesting that feels a little bit new, feels a little bit like some of you might be a little bit skeptical about it. But what we are talking about today is psychological safety. So the first thing I want to do is really help everybody understand in the context of how you build your teams, how your teams operate, and how that all connects to morale, how it attracts new team members. All of that is very, very important to this concept of psychological safety. But for those of you that might be a little unaware of what psychological safety means, I want you to think of it this way. If I were to explain this to a teenager, I would say, you can ask questions and make mistakes and learn without feeling like you're going to get laughed at, yelled at, or embarrassed. Okay, that is one way of looking at psychological safety. Another way of looking at psychological safety for those of you that are owners and managers is creating an environment where honesty is safer than silence. That's it. That is what it means to create an environment and support and uphold an environment of psychological safety. So now that we have that as our understanding, we really want to define this in simple terms, right? You are allowed to speak up. You are allowed to ask questions. You are allowed to admit that you make mistakes without fear of being embarrassed publicly or getting in trouble or punished, right? This is not about being nice. It's really about trusting that honesty will not backfire on you. So this connects, as you can probably see, directly to safety and quality and team learning, right? I would think of it this way. If a person doesn't feel like they can speak up and identify a problem while on press, for example, think of the cascading effects of the quality of not stopping the press to address the issue, having that product go all the way through production, all the way through finishing, getting it packaged up and sent to the client, and then there's a mistake, but that person who saw it didn't feel like they were empowered enough or had the right job title or the right status to identify that. I've worked in print shops for a good many years. I've seen it with my own two eyes. I've seen the infighting that happens when there's a blame game going on. So that is really what I want you to think about in terms of how this concept applies to profit, how it applies to client satisfaction, how it applies to literal safety, OSHA safety, and how it applies to everything to do with how you operate a great business that has happy customers and happy employees. So think of it that way. So when we think about why this is so important, it's because it really is the missing link between how you build a culture and, again, how you keep everyone safe and how you deliver impeccable quality. So when people stay silent because they're afraid to speak up, small issues can lead to bigger problems. It can lead to bottlenecks. It can include equipment failure. It can lead to injuries, right? Imagine a world in which someone sees something on the floor, doesn't say something about it, somebody else falls, or worse, you know, gets very, very injured. So when a company embodies this idea of catching problems earlier, it definitely improves efficiency. It definitely improves morale, right? We're all on the same team. We're all aiming at the same target. We all want to create beautiful, perfect work for happy customers, right? So again, a really big byproduct of this, a result of this, is that you will have less redos. You will have less complaining customers. You will have less injuries. You will have more profit. Super important. So when the leaders at your organization, when the manager's on the floor, the owner, all, everybody at the company embodies this and demonstrates it, it signals that safety and quality are shared responsibilities. We all have a role to play in delivering amazing quality, in keeping everyone safe. It's everyone's job. You know, just like sometimes we talk about how sales is everybody's job or marketing is everybody's job. This kind of thing, this safety, this ability to speak up safely, this ability to be honest is everybody's job and everybody's responsibility, and everyone benefits from it. So I want to kind of turn to leaders for a moment. When we think about how a leader responds when there is a problem, imagine a press operator comes to the plant manager and says, "Hey, this paper, it's not, you know, the ink isn't drying on it the way we would like to. There's some problems here." And the manager rolls his eyes and is like, "Not again," right? That whether the implication is that the pressman, him or herself, is the one to blame, or to go on and complain about the paper vendor or whatever it is, that reaction has an effect on the person who brought the problem in the first place, and it isn't positive. Right. So a reframe of that is, "Thank you so much for bringing that to our attention. We're going to take care of it right away." And maybe even tell me more about that. How did you discover it? When did you discover it? Right. A very expansive, curious approach is one that will make people feel like it is okay to bring these things to your attention. Right. So tell me more is a very, very powerful tool to get people to open up more and share more of their experience, more of their ideas, more of the things that they're observing while they're on the shop floor or anywhere in the plant for that matter. These kinds of things apply to salespeople as well. They apply to CSRs. They apply to estimators. Really, everybody has an opportunity to look at things and think about the optimal way to do it and call out that which is not ideal or that which is maybe it's a policy or a process violation. And we want to address those again in ways that foster learning and improvement, not punishment and embarrassment. Because many of you who are watching this later will be able to recall a time in your life when somebody made you feel about this big over a mistake or something you didn't know or something that you did wrong. I've made a million mistakes in my life. And the difference between a manager being generous and expansive about that versus someone who was all about belittling people and making them feel small, huge difference. Guess which one people want to work for today? And especially as we think about our younger friends as they come into the workforce, this is going to become more and more important. So when leaders model expected behaviors and expected norms by how they handle mistakes themselves, this becomes baked into the culture. So any of you that are parents out there and are following some of the trends there might understand the idea of repair. Anyone at your company, from the CEO on down, if they do or say something that is harmful to someone else, there is an opportunity to repair that. It's acknowledging what happened, apologizing for it, and making some sort of statement about what it will look like in the future. So that is what great leaders do when they are trying to create an environment where people are allowed to question and make mistakes and learn and grow and share. That's the benefit of all of this. So when we think about how to begin this, so if you're watching this and you're like, "Our culture is pretty toxic, we're not very nice to each other, we call out mistakes all the time," even if that is done in the spirit of kind of ribbing each other or a little bit of joshing, we have to think about the future. We have to think about the new people that are coming into our plants that might not have that same lived experience and might not have the same kind of thick skin that some of those folks that have been on your shop floor for 30 or 40 years have. So when we think about what those small, repeatable behaviors are, it's like a manager saying, "Good catch. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Thank you for flagging that problem. Thank you for coming to me with an idea about how to improve a process," right? When we create a culture where we are open to improvement, this means Everybody has a voice and everybody can come with ideas. And when you have a workforce made up of all different kinds of people, the ideas might be ones you've never heard of before. You might have some young people coming out of graphic communications programs that learned things that you didn't know or that weren't part of how you do things, but being open to that and making it safe for people to voice those things will benefit your profit, your people, your morale, your everything, your on-time delivery percentages, your error rates, all of those things. So again, from leaders, owners, CEOs, all the way down, being able to admit yourself when you make a mistake is a modeling behavior that is extremely important because this shows that you are human. It shows that you don't think you're better than everybody else. And it certainly creates a world where we are not out here acting like everybody is just lucky to be here and they're all hanging on by a thread. That is not the kind of environment where everybody is allowed to achieve their full potential and where people want to stay, right? So when we follow through visibly on some of the things that are brought to our attention, when we say, this was brought to our attention and this is what we're going to do about it in the future, and when you do those things publicly, it makes it okay. And that gives other people permission to do the same. And that is super important. So, how will you know if you are doing this right? How will you, what evidence will you have? Will you be able to see that you are creating this kind of an environment and this kind of a culture that will allow people to thrive even as they are making mistakes and learning and those types of things? So you'll hear more questions. People will ask more clarifying questions, not less, because they see that it is safe to ask questions. It is safe to bring things up that they maybe don't understand. Because remember, the enemy of all of our progress is when someone asks, why do we do it that way? The answer is because we've done it that way for 47 years. So again, that openness to thinking about those what if questions. What if we tried this? What if we tried this? Thank you so much for that idea. Either we'll try it or it probably won't work because of this, but at least you're making it so that those questions are welcomed and celebrated, and you're getting more of that, not less of that. Another thing you'll hear is that your team members are offering solutions to problems, not just bringing up the problems themselves, right? So they might be saying, hey, I've been noticing that the bindery gets a little backed up. What if we did X, Y, or Z, right? Maybe it's a scheduling thing, or it's a staging thing, or a handling thing. Who knows? But the fact that they start to take the solution mindset instead of just pointing out the problems or issues is a real sign that you're starting to create an environment where this is welcomed and celebrated. And finally, you'll see a lot less blame and a lot more sharing, right? I've worked in plants where the redo had to be traced back to somebody. So there was a lot of finger pointing. It wasn't me, it was him. It wasn't me, it was her, right? And so this is not a great way to create camaraderie among people who will stay focused on a singular mission of surprising and delighting our customers. This feels like a police state where everybody's cowering in the corner, not wanting to make a mistake. So when we are less focused on blame and more focused on solutions, this just becomes a shared problem-solving kind of mindset, which is really all we're aiming for here. So to wrap up, I would say, first of all, thank you. This is me. How if you want to get in touch with me for any reason. Just because something sounds like a buzzword of Gen Z does not mean that it doesn't have merit, right? I think in doing this research myself, I understood what the business benefits are of it and how simple it is to think about it from that definition perspective of just making it okay to experiment, making it okay to ask questions, making it okay to make mistakes is really at the core here. And this is about kindness and emotional regulation, right? That we cannot live in a world where plant managers or anybody is screaming at anybody. A lot of us baby boomers and Gen X people tolerated that kind of stuff for a long time back in the day. But this is really, there is no place for that in today's print environment. So here's to creating psychological safety and creating environments of camaraderie and teamwork and shared responsibility, shared accountability. And I hope you'll join us on another America's Print Association Network brief. Again, these happen on the first three Thursdays of every month, one on sales, one on company culture, and one on marketing. And it's been great to be with you. So thank you so much for being here, and I will see you again soon.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Print and Packaging Lab podcast powered by PIA Mid-America. Contact us to learn more about membership and for access to this and other content made for the printing and packaging industry. Get in touch by emailing us at info@piamidam.org.